1 through 7 is the introduction, and we'll work our way down through it. I did enough to get to verse 17, so we'll see how that works out. If you got a good grasp, if you got a good grasp of Romans, you got a good grasp of Scripture. I'm telling you, it's my favorite book of all of them, and Galatians. And I think it'll be a great blessing to you as we work through it. All right, let's go ahead and look at the verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, that's an excellent way to start the book, I think. Paul said he's a what? He's a servant. And, beloved, that's what we are. That's what we are. We are also servants. Now that we have been born again and trusted Christ as our Savior, the moment that you trusted Him as Savior, you became a servant. And what servants are supposed to do is serve. We serve and we look for opportunities to serve. And we pray for opportunities to serve. We come here tonight so that we could worship. And I think that's part of your service too. It's worship really. And we pray for people to come in so that they can learn and grow. I grow stronger when I'm with God's people. It's always been that way. I grow stronger. I like to be around them. I like to hear the singing. I like to hear the prayers. And I love to be in God's house. I can't figure out how someone, I can't figure out how some folks don't have a love for God's house. It bothers me. I don't understand that. I have a love for it. And I'm sure you have a love for it. And, buddy, I'm thankful that the Lord has given us a church that we could come to and we could, we can teach and we can love one another and we can learn. I'm thankful God's done that. So, the first thing he says here is that he was a servant. And there's something I want to show you here in the book of Revelations 22, if I can find it. I love the terminology of being a servant. And I've mentioned it to you before in the book of Revelations. But he talks again about here about being a servant. And it says in Revelations 22 in the verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of David and of the Lamb shall be in it. Now what's it say we're going to do in verse 3? Everybody look at verse 3. It says, and his servants shall serve him. So if you want to know what you're going to do forever, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, my greatest joy in life is serving Jesus. I'd rather serve Jesus than anything in the world. I'd rather be around God's people than anything else in the world. I love worship. And that's just fine with me. If that's what it's going to be, part of that's going to be that, and there's going to be worship. Other parts are going to be, we'll be serving, and we'll be doing that forever. But you know what it'll be about our worship? It'll be better than it is now, I think. The flesh, you know, sometimes causes you to lose your trains of thought and things of that nature. And there'll be a day when we'll be able to worship to the very best of our ability. And I look forward to that day. Let's go back. So, first thing I wanted you to see is we are what again? We're servants. And we serve Him all of our days in different ways. Revelation 22 says we'll serve Him in heaven. We read that text too. That's another thing we're going to do in heaven. We're going to serve Him in heaven. And that's a great blessing also. So, Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. The apostolic office was a special office. And the Lord Jesus, He's the one that picked them out for that particular office too. I think. I don't think there is apostles today either. I think the last apostles was when the apostles died out in times past. I think that's the way that it was. There are some people claim to be apostles today, but I don't think they're apostles. I think one of the main things that they did and the main purpose was to help develop the Scriptures. The Scriptures. God wants us to go by the Scriptures. That's what He wants you to go by. Who wrote this book? The Holy Spirit did, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. He's the one that created, or the Holy Spirit is the one that brought it into existence. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit moved them to put these books of the Bible in the way that they did. And aren't you glad you got a Bible? Can you imagine not having a Bible? You go back and looking in the Dark Ages and all of those places, and here we have our own copy. I mean, there was copies, but they never had their own copy like we do. We got helps. We got computers. We get all kinds of things that we could do in order to get to know the Scripture. So why do we want to get to know this? So we can share them with our grandchildren, our children, our neighbors, our friends, and all of these things. We want to do that. All right, so he says we're called, we're servants, and he says we're called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And that's one of the things that the apostles did is they of course walked with Jesus. They learned from Jesus. They traveled with him. He gave them instruction in the ways of the Father. He did. He indeed did that. So he says Jesus Christ called to be an apostle. Called to be an apostle. Now, I've told you this before. I believe the apostles died out with the last apostle, who was John. I think they did die out. I think the Lord established His churches as being... I think the Lord established the churches as being the means of teaching to the Lord's people. I really do. I think the church, that's what they do. The Scripture says that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And that's why you got to have a church, so that you can, you know, you can share the gospel with it. You can the ordinances, you have the ordinances at the church too. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. The church is a teaching place, like we already said, pillar and ground of the truth. And we learn and we grow and we instruct our children and our families in the ways of the Lord. And where we work at, we talk to them about the things of God. So the Scriptures can grow. Of course, now today you got so many helps. We got a lot of helps today that we could use. We got that sermon audio thing, and we got 2,000 sermons on sermon audio that people could go in and listen to. I think last month, I keep forgetting to read it, but I think we had 1,500 people watched some of those sermons that are put on there. So, and it keeps running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Radio broadcast, so people can hear that too. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would see fit to use these things, okay? All right, let's move on now. We're looking at the book of Romans. We're really rolling. We're down to just getting ready to start verse 2. So, a servant That's what we are now, right? Paul, he was a servant. We are servants. He was called to be an apostle. That was a special office. And he was separated into the gospel of God, and that was to spread the gospel. All right, verse 2, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Of course, the prophets was the ones that God gave them the Scriptures. Scripture says, holy men of God spake as they were moved, like I told you, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved them in a special way. You see, what you got to understand is when you're talking about holy men of God was moved by the Holy Spirit, we're talking about people that received the Bible, so to speak. They received parts of the Bible. We call it, they had the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit moved them in a special way to pen this book. Who's the author of this book? Somebody tell me. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the one that authored this. And he moved certain men. He moved certain men. That's why I said holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But it's a special thing. We don't have that today. We got the finished book right here. You need to read the book and study the book. It's completed. It's a completed book. And we need to use it in our church services when we're witnessing to people. But we also need to use it so we'll grow. If you don't read the Bible, that means you're not eating spiritually. And the result of that is you'll get weak spiritually. Okay? So, verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, if you go back and let's look at Matthew chapter 1. Jesus was a descendant of David. And there's a list that shows this, that Jesus was indeed a thoroughbred king. His lineage, remember, he was of the house and lineage of who? David. So Jesus was a king. Jesus was a king. And that's what our text shows here in the book of Matthew. Now, let me show you this. It mentions all the different kings. It starts with Abraham, and then it comes down. And then it gets into the kings that came after David. It says, Jesse begat David the king. David begat Jesse the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam. And then you go on down through verse 8. And Asa begat Jehoshaphat. And these were all the kings. So why do they put this in here? To let you know the lineage of King Jesus. And right here it is in the book. All God's people said. That's why it says he's of the house and the lineage of David. All right, let's go back to our text now. Let's get back over to Romans. Back over to the book of Romans. And let's get back to it's starting out verse 4. He says, declared to be, he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, verse 3, and declared to be the Son of God. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. With power. So, of course, when you look at, you can see a lot of Jesus' power when you look at the Gospels. I mean, you can see the things that he did was unbelievable, the things that he did. Hey, he did so many miracles that people just couldn't understand. He took 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish and fed 5,000 people, not including women and children. I mean, he had the ability to do great miracles. And the purpose of those miracles was to accredit that this is the Christ, the Christos. That's what he did it for. So he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now here he mentions in verse 4 one of the greatest blessings of all time, and that is that Jesus resurrected from the dead. Man, that's the greatest victory that you can even talk about. Of course, we talk about when Jesus died on the cross. That's when he paid our sins, and he paid them in full. He surely did. But beloved, if he never resurrected, we'd still be in our sin. So important that not only did he die for us, but he also lived for us. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And he conquered hell. Now that's the greatest victory that you could ever have, is what I just said to you. That's what he did. One of the things the Lord has done in salvation is he's given death a death blow. He's given death a death blow. When somebody dies and they are in Christ and they trusted Christ as their Savior, they just move up to glory when they die. I mean, they may die hard, or they may, you know, you don't know how somebody's going to die or not. But when they're born again, when they die, that's it. There won't be no more death. And they'll depart to be with Christ. That's how it works. And there's nothing any greater than that. I tell you what, death is a gruesome thing to us in a lot of ways. But I tell you, when you're born again, and when that person in that box is born again, that changes everything. You got something to preach. Hey, here's what I like to say. They're not in this box. They're with the Lord. They're with the Lord. That's what I said when I did my dad's funeral. That's the same thing I said there. He ain't in this box. He's with the Lord. I think that's an important thing to know. I draw strength from that. You? I draw strength from that. Man, that's strengthening to me. All right, now let's move down to verse 4 again. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Of course, Jesus was the first to resurrect, never to die again. That's the difference. Other people resurrected, but Jesus was the first to resurrect, never to die again. Matter of fact, the Scripture says Christ was the first fruits. Christ was the first fruits of them that slept. So he was the first. And now, when a child of God dies, they go to the Lord in spirit, don't they? Spirit leaves her body and goes off to be with the Lord. And then when Jesus come again, they'll get a new body. Get a new one. One that's never going to get sick. One that's not going to age. And one that's not going to die. But the great thing for us is what? Is we'll see them again. Not going to be a temporary thing. We're going to be with them, man. See him again. But the main thing is, we're going to see the Master. That's the main thing. I want to see the Master. There'll be nothing any greater than that. Verse 5 says, we have received grace Hey, I want you to look at verse 5. It says we received what? We received grace and apostleship, obedience, and faith among all nations for his name. So the first thing he says that they had received grace. Can I ask you a question? Have I received grace? Have you received grace? Now let me ask you another question. How did you get grace? Who gave you grace? Jesus did. He gave me grace. Now, did I deserve grace? I'm asking you that. No. I deserved hell. God gave me grace, though. God gave me grace. Now, I don't worry about hell. I don't have one speck of worry over hell. Because Jesus paid my hell on the cross. He conquered sin, death, and hell on the cross. So, my payment has been paid. And one of these days, we'll go off to be with Jesus. One of these days, Jeff Arthur's going to die, and I'd like not to die. I'd like to stay here to the rapture. I'd like to see that happen too. Either way, I'm good. Either way, I'm good. I'd like to stay here. I'd like to see these things. But whatever the Lord decides, I just know what's coming. So we've received grace and apostleship. Now, the apostolic office is a special office. They were trained by Jesus, I think. And they really helped a lot, especially when you read in the book of Acts, Peter and James and John and the different disciples that were trained by him. So they received grace. What else did they receive? Apostleship. They were apostles. Special office. Now, I don't think there is. I think the apostolic office died out with the New Testament. I do. Died out with in the New Testament times. I really do. And I think what the Lord left behind for us was something that's even better. That's this, right here. And he's seen fit that you got your own copy of it. And when you go home tonight, thank Jesus for this. Man, oh man. I can't remember who it was, but this is an old preacher. He said, man, can you imagine? Can you imagine them old saints up in heaven? And they said, you had the whole book? I bet you never got out of it at all. You think in times past, it wasn't heard of that someone had their own copy. God has seen fit to put a copy of the Scriptures in our hands. Oh, God's people said, that's a blessing beyond I can even think of. Verse 7. To all among whom ye are the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Now, I want you to notice what it says in verse 7. What's it say about the saints there? It says you were called to be a saint. Look at it again there. I want you to get that. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome. Of course, he's writing to the Roman church, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are we saints? Or is that just a special class of people? No, we're saints of God. You became a saint the day you was born again. So one of the things Catholicism actually is the one that did it. They made a super apostolic office of some type. They tried to make it more than it was. It's still a great thing, don't get me wrong. It's a wonderful thing to be a saint. But who gets the glory for being a saint is Jesus. You were called to be a saint. And the one that called you was Jesus. And there's nothing greater than that. Let me go ahead and shoot down this next one real quick. And I'll have a really good start on it. You liking this so far? Book of Romans is a great book. If you get you a notebook, you can write these things down. You'll learn more and more. You can dig as long in Romans as you want, but it's always going to be good when you read it. All right, back to the book of Romans, chapter 1, and let's start now at verse 8. We've done covered 1 through 7. That was the introduction. And now we'll move down and we'll get to verse 17 and then we'll stop. He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, I want you to think about that for a little bit. The Church of Rome, and it's not the Roman Catholic Church, don't get that mixed up, but the Church of Rome that's mentioned here in this particular text, it says your faith. Now, who's that faith in? That's faith in Jesus, right? That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So the church at Rome had a great knowledge and had a great impact, evidently, according to this verse right here that we're looking at. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. People were talking about this Roman church and the blessings that God had blessed them with and how much they growed and how much they were learning. God's churches need to know the Scriptures, beloved. They need to know and understand the Scriptures so that they can share them with people. And so the church can share them with people. And so people won't be deceived by error. Verse 9, For God is my witness, whom I serve from my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Stop again, verse 9. He said, I make mention of you always in my prayers. I don't know how many times I've read that in Paul's writings. Constantly. I bet all he did was pray. I mean, I don't know how he could go to all the places he went to and then pray so much for all the people too, but that's what he did. Paul was a man of prayer. He was also a man of study. Yeah, I think he was both of those. What a tremendous work the Lord did. This man was the chief sinner, Saul of Tarsus was. And now, he saved the chief sinner and saved his soul. And now it talks about prayers and witnessing and all these things that he was now doing for the cause of Christ. Verse 10, making request if by any means now at length that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. He wanted to go to Rome. Now, eventually, would he go to Rome? Yep. What would happen to him, though, after he got there? Eventually, they'd kill him. That's what they did. God had a purpose for that, too, didn't he? But that's what he did. You think about all of these things that he did for the cause of Christ. Verse 11, for I long to see you, that I might impart to you some spiritual gift. Maybe some passage, maybe some doctrine that they needed to know. That's what he's talking about in the text, I think. Some spiritual gift to to the end that you may be established. Have more knowledge, more established in the faith. Have more understanding in the faith. All right, verse 11. I'm sorry, verse 12. That I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Mutual what? Mutual faith. What's some of the things? We're all here. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We got 9 people here tonight. You know what we all got in common? We got mutual faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ. We have mutual faith. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That means we're brothers and sisters. Okay? So let's read on down. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as other Gentiles. He wanted to go visit the Gentiles. So he said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians and to the wise and the unwise. So much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. So he wanted to go to Rome. What would happen to him at Rome, you remember? They'd kill him. I just didn't see it. They eventually would kill him. And he died for the cause of Christ. It's hard for us to imagine. All right, now let's look at verse 15 through 17, and then we'll stop. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I'm sorry, let me get up to verse 15. I want to read. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you ashamed of it? If you're not ashamed of it, you'll share it. If you're not ashamed of it, you'll share it. And that's what we're supposed to do with the gospel. We are to spread it and give it to people. So he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. Same gospel. Same gospel that saves. All right, verse 17 will close. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Let's talk a little bit about the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? What is the righteousness of God? Now, when I stand up here all the time and say that we have Christ's righteousness, don't I say that all the time? That's what salvation is. That's what it is. When I was born again, he imputed, charged to my account his righteousness. That's the way he did. And you've heard me say it in this pulpit for years, say, how much righteousness does it take to go to heaven? What do we say? 100%. And the only way we can have 100% righteousness is by trusting Christ as your Savior. That's the only way you can get enough to get there. If you don't trust Christ, you'll never make it. Your deeds can't make you get there. Now, God's people do good deeds, but that's not what saves me. What saved me was Jesus. Jesus saved me. Look at it again. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. Beloved, I'm so thankful tonight for this. These are 17 verses that we looked at this evening, just to get started with the book of Romans. And already you see how great this text is. Talks about the gospel, talks about salvation, talks about righteousness and not being ashamed of Him. This is going to be a good study. I think you'll like it. And I encourage you to come back and hear it taught on. Thank you so much for coming. Let's all stand and we'll close with a word of prayer. Brother Tim...